Hello, Sky friends, and welcome to Seasons of Skyrend, Book 4. We're a custom 5e D&D adventure that focuses on the stories of our characters as they seek to change the world, and how the world responds in turn. I am your host and DM, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at TheScottBlake.
Hi, I'm Chris, and you can find me at EwokKiller on Twitter. I play Finnegan Finn Tempest, a Tiefling Trainer, which is a Skyrend original class supported by the Metalweave Games supplement Baby Beastry. Finn is the trainer of Cerulius, a blue guardrake.
Hi, my name is Nate. You can find me on Twitter at Skyrend_Nate. I play Darvin Grimm, the human monk, and I am currently hosting Cade, the demigod of the land in my brain.
Hi, I'm Shannon. You can find me on Twitter at Skyrend_Shannon. I play Aranis Gray, the god of rebellion, and I am a half-elf bard.
You can also find the show on Twitter at Skyrend Podcast, and you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/skyrendpodcast. Head on over to find out about bonus chapters, early access, NPC creation, and more. Now then, thank you for joining us, and please enjoy this chapter in Seasons of Skyrend. Your journey to Celestia to meet Veriflox, the blue dragon, has gone far better than anticipated. First, they offered you hospitality in the guest house within their cavernous home, where they employed a scaly dwarf-like form to speak with you on more even terms. While convincing them to help hatch Finnegan's lightning phoenix egg, it was revealed that not only was Veriflox present when Cade died, but they have been watching over his workshop. Veriflox did eventually choose to help hatch the egg, with Finnegan and Darvin choosing to witness the event. Seeing Veriflox in their true form from such a close distance was simply awesome and terrifying. The force and brightness of their lightning breath nearly left Finnegan and Darvin senseless. Thanks to the power of Veriflox, the lightning phoenix hatched as a juvenile, practically ready to jump into combat. They also seemed to have a taste for coins as a favorite treat. After returning to the guest house, Darvin made the difficult decision to fulfill his promise to Cade. Cade's nearby workshop is one of the few locations he knows of that contains the living land he needs to gain a body of his own. Despite knowing that it would mean losing the ability to harness Cade's powers, Darvin believes it is the right thing to do. Veriflox agreed to lead the way, a sensible precaution since only they know how to disarm the traps they have placed in order to protect their friend's workshop. The first such trap was a tunnel that erupted with lightning the moment they walked in. After several moments, they returned to assure you that the way had been made safe. The path continued to wind and fork, making it clear that it would be far easier to get lost than to find the way. All throughout the tunnels, lightning continued to crackle and arc along the walls. As the hours passed, Veriflox seemed to grow more proud and amused whenever a stray arc would reach out and harmlessly jolt one of you. Even though the traps have been disabled, the lightning has not been fully dissipated. Reaching the end of the path, you stand in a large cavern of smooth yet unpolished stone. Light glints off the crystalline fragments in the walls. A towering door with no visible seams or handles takes up an entire wall. On it, you see a three-pointed star, deep orange in color, overlaid on a dark gray circle. At each point of the star, there's a large blue gem that seems to reflect more light than it catches. In between each gem, as if to imply the points of a hexagon, there's a circular opening. Before continuing, Veriflox turns to you all once more. We've come to the final step, after which my guidance will no longer be needed. But in order to proceed, I need two things from all of you. One, I need to know that this is truly what you want. Two, and more importantly, I need you to swear that you will not reveal anything about these tunnels or what you are about to see. Without that oath, I can't let you leave. And they look to each of you for a response.
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to do a quick check-in with Cade. You still good with this?
Darvin, you've been a faithful and capable host. You've helped bring me safely out of Khorm's realm, all the way, almost back to my own workshop. I do enjoy your company, but I will remain limited without a body of my own. I do wish to return to my full power, to be able to pick up my work once again, and perhaps help heal this land. I don't see any way of doing that without a body of my own.
Okay.
Darvin, are you sure this is what you want?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. Then Veriflox turns to Finnegan, just to make sure he's in agreement as well.
Finnegan just kind of gives him the general confirmative nod.
Just want to make sure everyone's okay with, yes, this is what we want, and yes, we promise to keep all this stuff a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nate, were you about to do or say something?
No, just promising to keep it a secret and all.
Veriflox nods, turns to face the door, and says, you might want to take a few steps back, away. They face this big door, this huge, smooth door, and Veriflox begins to change back into their dragon form, but not all the way. This is only a partial transformation back. Their wings sprout out wide, folding out 15, 20 feet. They grow a little taller. Their head becomes more and more dragon-like, snout extending out, teeth lengthening. They inhale deep, and the wings come in, the corners of which get right there near the mouth. Lightning crackles. And as they spread their wings, a burst of lightning shoots out, with the tips of their wings drawing out two more arcs. Each of these three arcs, boom, 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 hits one of those three empty holes there on the wall. And as the lightning fills those three holes, they arc towards those three blue gems, creating this nice circle around that whole emblem. Veriflox stops and shrinks back down to their dwarf-like form. This lightning still arcing on the wall, and the whole thing seems to glow, charged with energy. Moments later, you hear the stone separate. The door separates into three portions along the lines of that three-pointed star. They slide open into the walls of the cavern, revealing a huge space within. Inside is a huge, tall stone chamber covered with ancient markings along the columns of the walls. In the center of this chamber is an obelisk standing 20 feet with runic markings on it, the full-size version of the one that Darvin had created back in Veriflox's guest house. The walls of this chamber are carved smooth. One section is crumbled down, revealing rough stone behind. There's a large workbench in here. Ancient tools of wood and stone remain on top of it, having covered dust since they were last used. Near this large work table is an immense round furnace. It's open at the top. Within, there are coals, which still give off some amount of warmth, though nowhere near enough to do whatever work that Cade used to do in here. The walls, aside from the section that has crumbled away, there are four distinct archways, each about 40 feet tall. In between these archways, it is completely filled with smooth stone. There are no runic markings on these areas whatsoever. However, about 20 feet up on each of these walls, there's a small opening about 2 feet wide. From the ground, you can't really see into them. As you enter in, Darvin, Cade inside your head, has a sense of awe and appreciation for what Veriflox has done. Darvin, I used to do so many good things in here. It's nice to see that it has mostly remained intact. Still more than enough of what I need, though. Before we continue on there, is there anything people want to do in here, now that you're in this old workshop?
This is not Finnegan's place to do anything except gawk a little and let the kind of like magic nerd inside him wish he could play, but not going to sit or do anything.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. Like, he basically said, like, don't tell anybody what you see here, so I'm going to try to see as little as possible.
But there's so many good things to see. I suppose if anyone here had any smithing experience, the work table and the furnace slash forge might be a little bit more interest. There is some very good things in here regardless. Veriflox does not leave. They walk over to that large furnace slash forge and just lean up against the wall of it. The walls of it stand about 2 feet tall, about 5-6 feet around. Darvin, star of the show right now, Darvin. In your head, Cade says, those four walls, those four work bays, that is what I need. Well, only one of them. I just need your help getting me into one of them. You see those openings there? That's my way in. I'll need you to, well, put part of yourself in there so I can enter into the land.
Okay. That sounds straightforward enough.
Mm-hmm. These openings are about 20 feet up the wall, so how you want to get up there is up to you. You've got a few different things at your disposal, but if you just want a human pyramid this in a very wacky way, that is also up to you.
Yes.
You do remember you have the ability to move the earth, buddy.
Yeah.
You've got the ability to make pillars. You've got the ability to run up walls.
Yes, yes, it's...
But if you want a human pyramid...
No, I want to dirt pyramid, or dirt pillar.
All right.
Dirt pillar, let's say.
Let's find out how many divine charges you have first. What is your die size for your charge? Die size and bonus.
It is 1d6 plus 1.
Okay. One moment here. Make my little table here of divine and rebellious charges. Since we're rolling this for Darvin, Arnis, would you like to roll yours too? Just in case something happens here and you want to use magic.
Oh, yeah. Why not? Okay.
It also means we're only rolling these once today. Well, for this session. Well, for this venture into the caves. All right. Darvin, how many divine charges you got?
Ooh, I rolled max. I got 7.
Ooh.
Noise.
Cade's all fired up within you, helping you channel that energy. Arnis?
Divine charges, I got 7, and then rebellious charges are 5.
Oh, you needed 2 more rebellious charges, so we could have 7, 7, 7.
No.
It's a little... Come on, it's good luck. It's a jackpot.
Yes, but for whom?
If you get 3 7s, then divine charges just start falling out of the sky. Ting, 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 ting.
That sounds fun.
I don't think Quorum would stand for that.
I just made that up. I don't know if it's real.
I mean, it's your world, man. Do what you want.
We haven't done anything quite that ridiculous yet.
Yet being the operative word in that sentence.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure we could do something that ridiculous if we wanted to. Okay. Darvin, 7 charges. Going to use those to create a nice little pillar to get up to that hole.
Yes.
All right. Let's see, how do we do that again? Do you have your pillar card handy?
No.
Okay. I do have it open, if you need.
Ooh, I found it. I got it.
Okay. So, how does this work? Just the, I think we can, whenever you take the move action there.
Okay. Whenever you take the move action, you can spend divine charges to empower that movement by creating a pillar that grows in a direction of your choosing. Declare how you intend to empower the movement, such as... Yeah.
Yeah.
Increased speed, ignoring terrain, launching. I don't think that matters right now.
Nah. This is just to get you up.
I'm tempted to be like, I want to use all of my divine charges since this is the last time, but...
but... Just go start cracking crevices in places, just like splitting open up the ground, making pillars everywhere.
Yeah, but one, I don't think that would do that much good right now. And two, what if I'm wrong and I need one after?
Okay. Yeah, one charge can easily get you 20 feet up. So what does this look like?
I'm going to strike the ground for dramatic effect, and a big old pillar of earth is going to shoot me up.
All right. This stone grows smoothly out of the ground. I don't know how well-formed previous pillars of yours have been. This one is entirely circular and smooth. I don't know if that's Cade interfering or if that's more the nature of the land that you're in at the moment. But it's definitely, like, more technically impressive form. And you're standing right here next to this 2-foot-wide opening. It is deep. It seems to just keep going forever. I mean, obviously it doesn't. But, like, you don't easily see the bottom, the back of this hole. And standing here, Cade says, well, Darvin, this is it. One last step. So, Darvin, what are you putting in there?
I think an arm.
An arm? Which arm?
My right arm. Just like, you know? Not with force or anything, but...
Mm-hmm. All the way to the shoulder?
Yeah. As far as I can get it.
I mean, it's a 2-foot-wide hole. You could practically climb inside there. It'd be a snug fit, but you could... I don't think you're a wide guy. You're not, like, super bulky.
Well, we'll stick to just the arm.
Just the arm. Okay. Okay. As you stick your arm in, you feel warm. It's warmth and pressure as this hole begins to close around your arm. The stone moves almost as if it's made out of liquid, and it has a more orange color than the surrounding. The surrounding stone looks more like a granite, deep gray stone, flecks of crystals, bands of darker. Finnegan and Arnis, you can see this too. This isn't so unnoticeable that you're not going to see it from just 20 feet down. Darvin, as it fully encapsulates your arm, you feel a slight tug. As if it could pull more of you in, it would, but the hole has already closed. And you feel the pressure and the heat on your arm increase more and more. None of this is out and out painful yet, not causing harm. And in your head, you hear Cade say, Darvin, I will admit I haven't done this before. So I apologize if it's uncomfortable, but it seems like we're ready. I should be able to move into this land here. And you can feel his presence start to leave you. And as he does, that pressure and heat increases again. Darvin, make a constitution saving throw.
Okay, one second.
This is going to get a little more intense than Cade planned. Never imagined he'd be in a fleshy vessel when entering this.
Ooh. So that's a 12?
12. Okay. Okay. Yikes. I went with a smaller dice and it didn't seem to matter. Two types of damage here, Darvin. 7 points of bludgeoning damage as this begins crushing your arm, and 5 points of fire damage as it is just so hot.
Okay.
You can feel your skin heating up, the hairs on your arm burning away. I think Cade senses the pain. He's like, Darvin, are you okay? Is this okay?
Yeah. It's manageable for now.
All right. I always imagined if I was using this, I would just be going in as myself. Did not consider that it might harm somebody else. I didn't think anybody else would be joining me in here. Let's carry on then. Darvin, another constitution saving throw.
This time, 23.
Oh. Well, then you're fine this time.
Nice.
Grit your teeth. And the pressure and the heat flares up again, but it's not enough to do anything physically to you. But what you do notice at this time is that liquid movement of stone, that orange stone, begins reaching out of the hole and like up your shoulder, up towards your neck, like little rivulets, little tendrils of it. Cade says, Darvin, just a little bit longer. This is a slower process than I thought it was going to be. Are you still okay?
Still good. Better this time. Still good.
Well then, one last constitution saving throw.
21.
All right, Darvin. What is your con saving throw bonus, by the way?
I have proficiency in all saving throws.
Oh.
So my con save bonus is plus 9.
Ooh, okay. This was less dangerous for you than I had thought then, which makes you an ideal candidate for this. The pressure and the heat flare again, and there's almost a twisting sensation this time. But again, no harm comes to you. And you can feel that Cade is almost entirely left. But before he's gone, he says, Tarvin, you've been faithful to your word, and you have been a kind friend to me. This kindness that you have done me, I don't know if I could ever repay. I know that you follow Khorum, but if you are willing to count me as a true ally, I could leave some of my power with you, and you would not have to sacrifice the gifts that I have been able to bestow upon you so far.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with that.
It's good to hear, Darvin. I trust you will make good use of them. And the pressure and the heat and the twisting sensation around your arm flash once more before they almost instantly vanish. And Cade's gone.
Wow.
Your arm is still in this hole. The stone is still wrapped around your arm. What do you do?
I guess the first step is to see if I can get my arm out of the hole.
Okay.
Yep.
Give me an athletics check.
Uh-oh. Ooh, I got a 16.
All right. This won't be embarrassing. It's not Darvin is stuck in the wall. Takes a few tugs, and the stone on the wall, like immediately around your arm, cracks and crumbles away in dust. As you pull your arm out, it has been altered by Cade, so as to show that you still carry his gifts. Darvin, what do you want that to look like?
Arm has been altered.
Is this a change in color? Is this a stone coating? Is this runes that have been put on your arm in some way?
Let's go with... I'm torn between stone coating and runes, but I think runes sound cool.
Runes sound cool. Okay. In which case, yeah. Any sleeve that you had on that arm, gone, by the way. But you pull your arm out, and running down your arm, you see a number of runes, including, most notably, ones matching that symbol that was on the door when you entered in. That three-pointed star overlaid on a circle. And that is one of his traditional marks. The deep gray and the deep orange are the traditional colors of Rebillo. And the lines of those marks, those runes, are thick enough that you can tell like, the texture, visibly, the texture of them is like granite and sandstone. They don't feel like stone. They still feel like skin. But if this were a tattoo, let's say, It's like somebody went to the effort of making it look like stone texture.
That's pretty cool.
Do you want to come down and show your friends first, or do you want to hear about what these gifts are? Like how they work?
Yeah, let's hear it first.
Okay. So you still have those same two features. Empowered movement and the empowered strikes for the fissures. You still have both of those. But here's the thing. You're no longer trying to channel the power of a weakened demigod who's inhabiting your body. This is Cade having given you a gift. This is him sending his power to you. So now, each day, you just wake up with 8 divine charges.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, damn. That's awesome.
That's really awesome.
No more rolling for Darwin. You just get your previous max plus 1. It's another reason why I wanted to know what your dice size was. Well, Arnis, if you become a competent god, you could give such gifts to other people, too.
Why, you gotta mock me like that. Don't do that.
And you would also not have to roll for your own divine charges. I'm not trying to mock you. I'm just trying to say, like, okay, Cade has been doing what he does for a long time. He's very comfortable in his abilities. He's not on a learning curve. He probably could train and learn more things, but his base level abilities are well practiced, and he can do them without incident, so to speak. Whereas before, Darwin, you need to try to channel some of that yourself and, like, use your own will and abilities. Arnis, you're still doing that with your own. Cade knows what he's doing. That's why Darwin gets just a set amount now. And Darwin, it should go without saying that anybody who sees those, if they know anything about Rubillo or Cade Mandeville, they will recognize them.
Nice.
So if you happen to find any, I don't know, temples of the land, you probably got an inn there. Might offset the whole Coram accursed thing that you have going on, too.
Right.
Okay. Any questions, Darwin?
So I just wake up with 8 charges, right?
Yeah. You've got 8 right now, in fact.
That's pretty cool. No further questions.
Okay. You going to go down and show off your new arm to your friends?
Yeah, I'm free now, right?
Yeah, you're free. Your arm's out. The pillar will descend at a natural and slow enough rate that you don't have to, like, jump. Unless you want to jump.
Nah, let's ride the pillar down. That sounds fun.
Okay. It just descends into the ground like an elevator. There's no markings on the ground whatsoever, making it look like anything happened. Hey, everybody. Darwin's back down.
Hey, everybody.
Nice
arm.
Well, that's to the point, and I point as I say that. It's my arm.
What's it mean?
I didn't ask.
No, I mean, like, why are they on there? What? Why does it look like that?
Cade left, but I still have some of his power.
Oh.
And it looks cool.
Well, I mean, yeah, but also, like, it's really cool.
It's one of the powers, is it looks cool.
Mm-hmm. It's a 0 divine charge cost.
Yeah, that one's free.
So, you're gonna go around with only 1 pant leg and only 1 shirt sleeve now?
Yeah.
Stealing Ruby Riot's look.
Right?
Why am I always the one with clothing problems?
I don't know. Maybe we can get half off, though, of all your clothes.
I need new robes.
Mm-hmm. Veriflox approaches you, Darwin. Reaches out an arm towards yours, as if to ask permission, like, can I look? Can I touch?
A nod.
Okay. With one hand, he'll, like, grab your wrist, pull your arm out a little bit, and the other one, feel his claws, his sharpened fingertips, just gently trace down your arm, kind of touching the runes and things. In no way trying to make this hurt. This is analytical. This is a little judgmental. Like, what is this? Why is this? Trying to figure out what's going on here. There's a couple little crackles of electricity on his fingertips as he does this, as if they're verifying that these are truly left by Cade. Impressive. But what, Cade's just gone now?
Seems that way.
And as Darvin says that, the whole chamber begins to rumble. And where that hole was in the wall where Darvin stuck his arm in, an orange light pierces out. And the chamber continues to shake. The tools on the workbench rattling. Until this big pair of metal tongs falls off and clashes to the ground. And you see cracks forming on that bay. Light beginning to shine out from the cracks. But rather than shatter, the stone steps out. There's this large, 35, 40 foot tall figure, roughly humanoid in shape. Large sections of deep gray stone, like granite, held together with a deep orange, liquid metal stone, moving almost like mercury, with matching eyes of a slight glow, and steps over towards you, kneels down in front of you, Darvin. And Cade says, I want to thank you again for everything that you've done. If you ever need anything from me, I'll do my best to help. This land, I managed to save some of it once. I should probably see if I can help repair what's left. Everyone, there's a giant 35, 40 foot tall Cade Mandeville. A very, very cool stone body now. Not entirely unlike the thing, Nate.
Cooler looking, it sounds like, but still.
Cooler look, yeah. A little less clumsy looking. But everyone, here's Cade, outside of a body. In his own body. Is there anything that you want to ask him? Is there anything you want from him?
I mean, I'm only just realizing, like, literally how long he's been hanging out with us. like, it's been a really long time. So, I think there's, like, a weird, even though, like, you know, he and Darvin have been really hanging out for the majority of it because I had to let him go. But, I mean, I don't want anything or need anything, but I think I'll just say, wow, it's good to see you finally whole again. But we're really going to miss you.
He reaches a hand out, places it around your shoulders, basically.
Oh my God. Maybe slightly terrified. I know. I may be slightly terrified right now. Just a little bit.
But. Gives you a gentle squeeze around the shoulders. Yes, Arnis, I thank you too. Without your efforts, along with Darvin's, I wouldn't be here today. If you happen to see Vale or Eolana, extend my gratitude to them as well.
I will.
Veriflox is slightly in awe. Is there anything else people want to ask him about? Like, I do have something for Veriflox. I just didn't want to cut anybody else off. So Finnegan, is there anything that you want to say do here now that Cade's present?
This is kind of just cool. Yeah.
Okay. Veriflox steps over to Cade, slightly in awe that there doesn't appear to be any sort of fear or sense of danger in the way he approaches Cade, but it is still different. There's a look of unknown at first, as if this is not the same Cade that they knew all those years ago. Cade, I knew you'd been working in here, but I did not know what to expect. I like your new body. It suits you. I take it the others are backups as well, just in case anything happens to this one. Kind of motions up and down with their hand. Cade nods. As I have discovered, I am not immortal. there is an extent to what I can do, and if this body fails me, I should be ready to jump into another one, as long as I can make it back here. But if we don't have anything quite as severe as the turn, then I should be hopefully all right. I can save these for another day. Well, He stands up to his full height, stretches, and you hear the sound of stone scraping on stone, and the light in his eyes glows a little brighter. If there's nothing else, friends, looks down at everybody, I should set to work. I need to refamiliarize myself with this land first. I wish you good luck on your journeys. And if you survive, by all means, come see me again.
We will.
I think as we're kind of leaving, I'm kind of like whispering to Arnis, like, are we not going to ask him to help us? He seems quite powerful. It might be advantageous. He's already an ally.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. That's a fair point.
So you're like walking out. Wait a minute. One more thing.
A second. So, I mean, you already know where we're headed, and it seems to me you have an interest in doing the right thing. We got a rogue demigod on our hands, and it wouldn't go amiss to have one on our side.
Mm-hmm. I see where you're coming from, Arnis. Tell me, how would I join you?
Yeah, kind
of
that's...
motions to his own new body now.
That's part of the reason I didn't ask until prompted, because I had the same question. Like, I wasn't sure you were able to, like, leave now.
Arnis, I have the ability to move stone and move through stone as I see fit. Do you think there's room for me on your ship?
I don't know.
Plus the fuel costs.
Do you say that out loud?
Yeah.
We only got an F-150. It's going to take at least an F-350 to get you. I'm up for creative solutions if people have them. I just want to point out that he's a very large stone body now, and I don't know if your airship could hoist him up.
I don't think it could.
I mean, I've got fun solutions, but I want to open this up to you first.
I mean, does he have the ability to just, like, use the seafloor and go that way?
He wouldn't be with you, but yes, probably. He doesn't need to breathe, if that's what you're worried about.
Yeah, well, I wasn't. I mean, he's stone. Exactly. So, yeah.
That would be more of a he meets you there type situation rather than he accompanies you. Not out of the... I'm just pointing that out. That is perfectly viable. I just want to hear what your intended solution is for him joining you. If other people have ideas, I'm open to it.
Yeah.
Right now he skates along the floor of the ocean.
I mean, can he manipulate his own mass? Could he, be smaller or break himself into pieces? Like, I don't know how he works. It's going to sound real ignorant.
Could you, like, be half of you?
Well, the different sections of his body are held together by that orange liquid stone metal. I suppose those could be separation points.
Separate the saucer section. It's fine.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry, I have died. Now I am dead, and I'm back.
Okay, that's another solution. Skate along the bottom of the ocean. We've got... Can you just pull yourself apart and then, like, have a hand walking around, or an arm walking around the ship, a head just kind of sitting there on the bow? I imagine he could have limited control of himself when separated. Probably like a weaker version of Darvin's ability. That's another... Anything else? Anything else we've got?
That's all I got.
Nate, any ideas?
Burrowing. Maybe he could burrow. Mm-hmm. That's all I got. Just like a tremor.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of those things from Stranger Things.
I've only seen season 1 of Stranger Things, but
I watched season two and regretted it, so, I mean.
You didn't regret watching season two. You just didn't need to watch any more after season two.
Yeah, that's fair.
Disagree, but this is a season one reference anyway. But I don't remember how to find it, so, you know, never mind. Looking for GIFs, but I don't have the right word memory.
I don't know. I don't remember.
We'll go with that.
I remember they went through some, like, tree portal thing to get into the Upside Down, but it's been a while since I've seen it, so.
Nice. Tremors.
Yes, that is Tremors.
I was just thinking about the thing from, what is that? Is that Mass Effect?
Threshema.
Yeah. Ugh. That.
Yeah.
Same
is
idea.
Is it just another desert sandworm? Another dune?
Space worm.
Big one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Let me make another bullet point here. Can Cade come along? Burrow to Lyranor. Walk on ocean floor.
Lego style.
Break body a la Crash Test Dummy.
Voltron style.
Or Voltron style. Doesn't exactly have like a giant tiger mouth holding a sword, but yes. Are there any of these ideas that you would like to propose as the prime solution here for Cade?
No, they all seem equally hopeless.
I'll throw that to our master negotiator to decide.
Well, then I'm going to go with my idea.
For it.
As the one I want to throw to Cade.
Which one was your idea?
Cutting you into pieces doesn't seem kind. Mine is the seafloor.
So what do you say?
Okay.
Love this little huddle that you're all doing. Like, how do we get him to join us?
What the fuck?
Just take his head off.
Well, that seems mean. Maybe we don't
off
do that.
Off with his head.
I don't know. Will that hurt?
I don't know. You didn't ask. That's why I'm asking, which one of these do you want to put forth to him?
Okay, so we do this little huddle and I come back with well, I'm not sure that you even necessarily need to be on the ship with us. How do you feel about just taking the ocean floor there and meeting us?
Arn is roll persuasion.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh no, the thing I'm best at. Actually, you might be better at performance, but
it's the same, actually.
See?
I just thought of one more option. We have a giant dragon friend. Carry him or ride him. But that is offering someone else.
He's made of stone. Heavy. It's not just a big dude.
Chris did eventually get to my fun option there, too.
Do you remember how large this dragon is?
I mean, I do, but, I don't know. He's stone. Ooh, that's a nice roll. Mm-hmm. That's a nice roll.
What do you got?
I've got 32.
That is a very nice roll.
It'd be a solid roll even without the crazy bone.
Cade listens to the suggestion. Nods along. There's certainly nothing preventing me from walking along the bottom of the ocean, but it does raise a couple questions. One, are you okay being without me for that journey? Two, how would we even know where to meet? Do you know where you're going in Lyranor?
Now, there's a question. Sidebar for the DM. Do we know where we're going?
No.
Chris is shaking his head somewhere on the continent. I don't know.
I mean, Levesque has a giant floating island at his disposal. Probably beyond that, but it's mobile, so you don't know where it's parked.
Going to a place with a lot of dwarfy stuff? It's not helpful.
No.
Well, okay, so I will explain the thing about the floating island. And that likely wherever we're going is where that is. But to be honest, I don't know other than that. Levesque was going to wherever his father was, which I'm guessing is his stronghold. But I don't know where that is, nor would I. I'm
Mm-hmm.
So.
if Gregok has a stronghold on Lirinor, it has been kept from my knowledge, at least. Is he attempting to hide from Levesque?
At this point, that's pretty safe to assume.
It's a safe assumption. I don't know the actual answer to that. I don't know if he is or not. I mean, I warned him. I warned everybody that I could. I honestly can't remember if they seemed bothered by it or not.
If he's attempting to hide, he may not be in one of his own strongholds. If he's attempting to fight, maybe he is. I may be able to search out places once there, but still doesn't answer where we meet when we're there. Do you have any way to signal me?
I don't have anything that we could use.
We got any send up a flare type magic? We got any communication magic? We got any...
No, that's a pre-recorded
creative
message.
Creative ideas?
I'm looking.
GPS magic?
I wish. But only for
tracking
right now.
Device?
I've got Animal Messenger.
Ooh. Is that?
Let me look at it.
It's not super immediate, but it is a way to communicate.
You can correct me if I'm wrong about some geography. Are we headed like due north from here? Or yeah. Are we
pretty this is much... like you're headed this is like you're headed towards the North Pole.
Okay.
Like the axis around which the planet rotates. North Pole.
I mean
Space North. But that's a big area. That's like saying we're going due south when we're going to Antarctica. Still, where are we meeting?
Like, right.
It is a very large continent.
Right. But what I'm thinking is, right, mm-hmm. like, if we're going north, like, from here,
mm-hmm.
and we're all headed in the same direction,
mm-hmm.
presumably, theoretically, we will all hit land near each other. Is that a terrible assumption?
In theory.
Right, okay.
It's not a terrible assumption. Do you have any sort of compass? Any sort of sense of... Okay.
I mean, I don't. Olwan might.
Olwan might. I guess it would be weird to think that that ship wouldn't have a compass of some sort on it.
Yeah, wouldn't have
on hand.
Some way
it might
to
just
tell.
Have sextant. It might just use stars, though, since they were always down south in the darkness.
Mm, right.
Whereas you're going to Lirinor, where there's going to be only be one star visible, the sun.
So
maybe there is, maybe there isn't. I don't know. We could roll for that. But yeah, in theory, yes. If you were both to head due north from here towards Lirinor, you would hit landfall about the same time. Or not in the same time. Same place.
Right.
Cade would probably get there first.
Okay. Then let's do this. Okay. If he's going to get there first, so I would say this to him as we're kind of talking out how to make this work. Mm-hmm. If you are going to arrive first, is there a way for you to like mark the land in some visible way that we would be able to see coming in on a ship, on an airship, like a land flag or something? I don't know.
That depends. How much subtlety or, more importantly, lack thereof is acceptable.
Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that subtlety is necessary in any way. Agni Tai was in the meeting where I told everybody, and she's going to be there. So I have to assume that Levesque knows we're coming after him. So, like, there's no stealth mode here.
Okay. Because, I mean, can he do something that's going to be obvious and visible to everybody for hundreds of miles? Absolutely.
But also, like, even if it's obvious and visible, nobody's necessarily going to know why it's there, right? Presumably.
I don't know. You're asking questions about NPC roles that are happening in the future and off screen.
That's fair. That's true. I figure unless he creates a giant statue of me out of stone...
He appreciates all that you've done for him, Arnis. He is not going to play into your vanity like that. Okay, it's a viable solution. Viable solution. Well, if you're not worried about subtlety, then I can make it very obvious where I am.
Okay.
if everybody's okay with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So, taking a step back, right now it seems like the plan is Cade's going to walk through the ocean if necessary, and you're going to fly, and Veriflox is going to join you.
Mm-hmm.
And some point, when you get to Lirinor, he's going to flag you all down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, to make obvious unsubtle. All right. As you're discussing this, Cade's nodding along, asking these questions. We're figuring out these details. He says, "This all seems well and good. How much resistance are we expecting Levesque to put up beyond just himself and Agnita, a god? If I remember correctly, there are guards on this island of his. Does he have allies?" Oh, Cade would know about the allies.
Mm-hmm.
What about his allies in the glamour?
We honestly don't know what has become of them. So last we heard, and you can correct me if Aranis doesn't have all this information, but last we heard, Levesque had just co-opted the island to go where he wanted. And everybody was told to either you're going where I'm going or get out.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows if any of them will be there or not.
Mm-hmm. I see. And are we expecting everybody to survive this? I've already died once for this world.
Yeah.
If I am to do it again, I prefer to spend at least a little more time here.
I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, when it's a fight this big, I never expect to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still here.
Mm-hmm. Cade turns to Veriflox. "Friend, appreciate the protection you've given my workshop in my absence. Will it be safe if you and I are both absent? I wouldn't want anybody else getting to my spares." Veriflox nods and says, "Don't worry, I'll reset the traps. Maybe make a couple of them a little stronger." Cade nods. His spare bodies are quite valuable to him.
Understandably so.
Veriflox says, "I'll need some time to do it, though. If we're to leave soon, then it's probably best that everybody else prepare."
And with that, we'll bring this chapter to a close. But the story will always continue. Thanks again to all of our Patreon patrons for your support. If you'd like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/skyrenpodcast and pick out a level that's right for you. Before we go, I'd like to give special thanks to everyone at the $5 and up tiers. At the $5 city council level, thank you, Shannon DeMello. At the $10 mayor level, thank you, Christopher DeMello. At the $15 governor level, thank you, Phoenix Bryan and Sierra Jones. Thank you for listening to this chapter in Seasons of Skyrend. If you like what you heard, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us. If you want to chat, we're on Twitter at Skyrend Podcast. You can join our Discord server, or you can email us at skyrendpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us online at skyrenpodcast.com. As always, thanks to Daryl Barnes for creating our theme music. You can find them on Twitter at @DarylBarnes_. We also want to thank the talented @Gabby_Desu on Twitter for our fantastic podcast art. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time on Seasons of Skyrend.